doing? Boom, there's an answer. Better than we deserve. I like it. Good to see everyone. We talked about it at prayer, but I want to make sure, remind folks in case you weren't with us at prayer, but please be in steadfast prayer for this deadline on the hostages. Let's be in steadfast prayer that they all are released. Let's be in steadfast prayer for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, and for salvation on both sides. So please be continuing. I'm going to keep just please be continuing to really, really, really keep that in prayer and be praying for our nation, brothers and sisters, because we have this opportunity of grace that's been given, but we need to be praying that the right decisions are being made, and we also need to be reminding ourselves that the King is always Jesus Christ, period. So we just need to be mindful of that as we also pursue all the different things going on right now. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving for this time that we get to gather in your house, Lord Jesus. Father, we do continue to lift up Israel, your people, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for salvation in the midst of this, Lord. Father, I continue to pray for pastors to preach Jesus and the Word of God and the promises to Israel in context, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that through your Spirit you bring conviction and salvation. Lord, we pray for the hostages. We pray for the release of those remaining, Lord. And we pray for your hand to minister to the families as only you can, Lord Jesus. Please. And Father God, for this nation where we have this grace and mercy, yet Lord, the embers are burning of division relentlessly. We pray for the bride of Christ to boldly go forth with the one equalizer, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that names would be added to the book of life. Lord, be with us tonight as we continue our study in Psalms. Prepare our hearts, souls, and minds for your word. Help us to hear what you have for us this night, Lord. Heavenly Father, that we would embrace the conviction you bring upon us, Lord, for it is refining for your glory. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week, we hit Psalm 60, and we're going to be going on tonight with Psalm 61, and it was interesting when we looked at Psalm 59 and then Psalm 60, it was almost a little two-part that we did because we saw when the battle begins and then we saw within the battle, how do you handle when you're defeated? And in both circumstances, we found ourselves having the same answer and the same one we go to, the Lord God Almighty. And it's a necessity and a reminder that we need over and over and over again, whatever the circumstance, whatever I'm facing, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever victory, whatever defeat, I go to God. Over and over and over. David, in that moment, Israel was facing defeat, and there was a trusting in God. And we have to remember, when we trust in God, we're trusting in his proven nature and his proven character. We're trusting in the great I am. And when we think about trust, something as I was meditating on the psalm still from last week is really asking ourselves, who can you trust more than God? I think we all know the answer to that. But how often we put our trust in other places, thinking, well, no, but there's only one that we can trust fully. So charge, check in. How do we do pondering our cycles when defeated? How'd you do thinking about maybe the last time something didn't go exactly as planned or defeat is what you were facing? How did you handle it? What's the cycle that you have for defeat? Is it that you go to the Lord right away? The other piece was to pray for Israel. It's fascinating as we go through the texts that we're in. We keep being reminded of the importance of Israel, his chosen people, his love for Israel. How are you doing praying for Israel? We can't grow weary in that. And you could get to the, well, this is hard. And it can be at times when you're praying on something over and over again. Open the Word of God. Remind yourselves of the promises of God. Remind yourselves of His beloved. And then pray. And the other piece was to ponder eternity, ponder His promises, and cherish the victory at the cross. And that was one personally for me, doing that just led to quite some time sitting in awe of the Lord God Almighty. When we really take the time to ponder eternity, that we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the promises that have been fulfilled and that are yet to come. And the victory at the cross. Because every sin, past, present, future, forgiven. It's powerful. Now tonight we're going on to Psalm 61. The title of tonight's message is Safety. The title of tonight's message is Safety. And as we look at this psalm, I want to lay some things that hit the culture we're in today, that hit the last 4 to 5 years of our world before we delve into this text. So I want to read some phrases that might not be too foreign. Because if we think about this idea, you can hear in culture, you can hear folks say, or they can have a sense, or they can feel, I'm not safe. I'm not safe. I'm not safe. So we've heard, I just want to feel safe. We hear the phrase emotional security. We hear the phrase microaggression, macroaggression. We hear, I'm offended. We hear, that hurt me. We hear, I don't feel safe. We hear systemic dangers. We hear, trust the science. We hear, mitigate risk. We hear, avoid danger. We hear, it'll keep your kids safe and healthy. We hear, if you don't do this, you'll die. We hear, mental security. We hear the phrase, safe space. We hear, can't breathe. We hear, panic. We hear fight or flight. We hear so stressed. We hear my fear, my anxiety, my worry. It's interesting. We don't hear my God as much as we should, but we hear those things. We have a world right now hungry for safety, hungry for feeling safe. And then we look at statistics. U.S. Surgeon General study, 95% of teens between the ages of 13 to 17, more than 1 to 3, use social media almost constantly, is how they answered. Almost constantly. 2/3 said that they often, sometimes, are exposed to hate-based content or bullying. The majority of them, of that 95%, answering that it builds stress and anxiety, but they find their identity on the screen. And then there's research on the blue light, how that hits, and the chemical dependency of dopamine that people start to get from the screens. 2024 American Psychiatric Association noted that 43% of adults are stating that they're more anxious. The year before, it was 37%. And of the adults that they surveyed, 68% worry about safety for themselves and their family. 63% worry about safety and their identity. 63% also for health, for bills. 50% over the opioid epidemic. And 46% stress over the impact of technology on life. And for 2025, they're noting that 46% of adults are saying they currently feel at peak stress. They're at a breaking point. Pew Research points out that 58% of ages 18 to 29 are reporting high levels of psychiatric distress. 41%, 4 in 10 adults over 30 are reporting high levels of psychiatric distress. And this is surveys that they did in 2022 and 2023. Teen stress, 41% of the parents surveyed in Pew Research with their teens that are categorizing themselves as stressed out and not feeling safe and worried, 41% cited the parents. It's because of their use of social media. And 26% of technology in general. So why am I laying that all out there? Because our world is laden with stress right now, with fear, with a quest for safety. And Psalm 61 is going to give us a reminder that we know, but we can forget, there is only one place to find safety and refuge from the Lord God Almighty. And when we think of all of these things that are taking place, and when we see these statistics and these phrases that come up within culture, and the phrases I gave are ones I've seen a bunch online, and they're quite frankly some that I think of emails as the time when I was a school leader, phrases I would see over and over and over again in emails. Because of fear, because of concern, and the countless times as I went on as a school administrator, it felt like as time went on, more and more I would hear, I just want to feel safe. I just want my kids to be safe. I just want my kids to be safe. And there's only one place that we're going to find that safety and refuge, which is why we need to boldly go forth with the gospel. God is the only source of refuge and safety. So we have to ask ourselves, what would it be to have radical faith and trust in God? What would that look like? What would it be to live radically different for God? And I think in this time and age, when I think and see the things that are there, I'll tell you, it has me prayerfully analyzing my relationship with technology more than I already have. And we have to realize faith and trust in God leave no room for my worry, my fear, my anxiety, my stress, my lies. Because it's just about my God, the King of Kings, who's in control. So Psalm 61 is a royal lament psalm. It's a psalm of David. The references to kingship have most agreeing that this was a psalm that would have been penned when David was king. Some believe that it may even be when he was dealing with the rebellion of Absalom in 2 Samuel 15 to 18. We've looked at it before. That this is that moment that comes out of that, and even the next few psalms have the same undertone and recurring themes. And in the psalm, we're going to see a prayer for strength and security. A prayer for strength and security to the only one who can give it, which is an important reminder. In it, we're going to see that comfort is found in remembering the character of God. And it's interesting when we think of the comforter who brings to remembrance Scripture, there's a reason. Because Scripture reminds us of the character of God. We're going to see steadfast confidence in God's faithfulness and promises. This is a psalm that really will remind us, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's a psalm that makes us think of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We give all our heart. We acknowledge him in every single way. And then it goes on, do not be wise in your own eyes. Because the mind that we put on is the mind of Christ, which is humility. And then the part that I'm still waiting to see on a t-shirt when they use this verse as a verse for Christian gear, fear the Lord and depart from evil. You don't see that one. They leave that off because it's too intense. It makes people feel unsafe. Yet it's the key to safety. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And if you're doing everything that's before that, you're going to get to that point to fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones because you're renewed and strengthened by the great I am. So this psalm is going to remind us to do that, to fix our eyes on the Lord. And the result of David doing that, we're going to see in this psalm, ends how it often does with him. What do we see him do when he focuses on the character and nature of God? He ends in praise. Praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. And as we see David go through that, we're going to be thinking this evening, brothers and sisters, of how we use the phrase, I will. I want you thinking about that. Because as we go through the psalm, you're going to see David say a lot of I wills. And I want us thinking about, how do you say I will? How do you say it? Is it focused up or is it focused in? Where are your I wills pointing? What direction are your I wills going? So in the title of the psalm, we're given that it's to the chief musician, a phrase we've seen many times. And then we also see on a stringed instrument, looking as though a harp at that time period, and a psalm of David, which we've established. Verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. I've said it and I've led by the Lord to say it again. Really take to heart how you say, O God, O my God. As I go through these psalms of late, it really, really has my ears kind of on tick for how do we say that? Because I do believe even in the bride of Christ, we've let, O God, or O my God, become so casual and flippant and irreverent. Let's not do that. Let's think of how we're addressing our King. And we see here, hear my prayer, O God, attend to my prayer. He asks God to hear the prayer that he's bringing forth. And he asks the Lord, minister in an answer. He's saying here, hear your child. Hear the troubles that I'm going through. And notice, he takes the mys to God. It's not that we don't have things that we need to have wrestled with or dealt with. Don't misunderstand that. But notice what he does with it. My cry. My prayer. He takes the woes and brings them to a cry that is his to go to the Lord. And he focuses on the only one who can change it, who can take care of it. He's not trying to solve it on his own. So it gives us a little moment to think about how, when you're in that moment of a distress or a hardship or when safety feels forgone and lost, how do you approach the Lord? Because in it, there's going to be heightened emotion, right? There's going to be distress, whatever it may be. Have you ever started with, hear my cry, Lord. Minister to me, Lord. Hear me, Jesus. Hear me right now. I need you, Lord. Answer me, Lord. Starting there, it's an interesting thought. Then verse 2, he gives us a sense of his state of being more. From the end of the earth, I will let my phone ring. No, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, when we see here from the end of the earth, it's interesting because we know in David's time, he doesn't ever really go too far, right? So it's not as though he's traveling to some far place. But what he's hitting here is his spiritual geography. And our spiritual geography, get your GPS right, God's provided spirit. Something I thought about. Get your GPS right, God's proven and provided spirit. That's where we need to focus when we feel far from the Lord. That's where we need to center ourselves. That's where we need to go. Because there's going to be times where our spiritual geography, because guess what? Child of God, whole context of the Word of God, Spirit of God is where? In the believer. In us. Can't be too far from the Spirit of God in you. But boy, oh boy, can we sometimes feel, have you had the, God's not real, he's not listening. Where are you, God? Well, my spirit's inside of you. Why don't you ask for a filling afresh and see what happens? Ask and it will be given. Remember what we saw in Luke? Remember that?
So we have to realize here, we're going to have those moments where it feels far away. But notice what he says, I will cry to you. And that's a powerful statement. And in the context of our world of social media, yes, he's going there again. What do? I will cry to my thumbs. And put hashtags to see how many likes I can get and how many refollows. People feel my feelings. Knock it off. Go to the Lord. I will cry to you. Saints, when we build the discipline of fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing every problem, every woe, every frustration, every trouble goes to him, that's the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. So we see here that cry, I will cry to you. Then notice what he says next. When my heart is overwhelmed, he knows his heart's going to be overwhelmed. It's not if my heart's overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. Because guess what, y'all? We're all going to feel overwhelmed at some point. We're going to have that. There's going to be that sense, oh, this is too much for me. I can't take this. Anybody relate? Everybody ever have that sentiment? Every hand should be up. We all have had that moment. This is overwhelming. And he points here, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Not when my heart is overwhelmed, let me vent to somebody. When my heart is overwhelmed, let me wallow in my feelings and have a pity party and do hashtags victim. No. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Go to Psalm 18. Remind ourselves. David, also the author of Psalm 18, when we look at it at the beginning, and we spent 2 weeks on just the first few verses of this psalm, this is when he's on the run from Saul. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Imagine if the lies of the world and the lies of the lies from the pit of hell the enemy tries to attach to you, if you changed it to the lies of the Lord God Almighty. My strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. But notice what he calls the Lord here. Same thing we're seeing him point to. Lead me to the what? The rock. What does he call him? Rock. Why are we highlighting that? David gives us a chance to see a man's consistent prayer life. What do you call the Lord God Almighty? Is he your rock? What are the names you have for the Lord? And do you keep reminding yourself, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my strength. You're my salvation. You're my king. You're my everything. That's why I love when we sing the, you are my God, you are my Lord, you are my master, my everything. Because we've got to remind ourselves of that. We know from Jesus in Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Because who's the rock of salvation? Jesus. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So we see here in the midst of this challenging time where safety is not sensed. And we can imagine if we go with where many believe this is when he's in dealing with Absalom's rebellion, you could seeing all the people betraying him, you're not going to feel the most secure in that moment. What's going to happen now? But where does he go? The Lord. And who does he point to who he is? Lead me to that rock. Do you seek to be led to the rock? When it's all a mess, do you seek to be led by the rock?
And for us, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that's when we say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Get the word of God. Teach me. Let the Spirit teach you. Let the Spirit bring scripture and write it on your heart. Let the Spirit then empower you to move forward in obedience. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, you do. We're called to be witnesses. Witnesses is how you live your life. How you're responding to this. Is it glorifying the Lord or is it showing the enemy? Ha ha, gotcha. So that's where we move forward. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I will cry to you. Saints, we're going to have times where we need to cry. We're going to have times where it's rough. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Then he goes on, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. He reminds himself of the character of God. God, you've been my shelter. You've been that strong tower. You've done it time and time again. That's why I like to remind us, memorialize your walk with the Lord. And when you're in that moment of, oh, this is hard, take out that journal. Take out whatever it is where you've logged all the times the Lord's faithful hand has delivered you. And remember, and then open up the word of God and say, Lord, you've been my shelter for me. A strong tower from the enemy. And now he gives another set of I will. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. Tabernacle. I went a little New York there. Whoa. Tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. The rock being a shelter. The strong tower. That's a sign that's pointing to the safety and security. And then when he's pointing here, I'll be in your tabernacle forever. That's the tent of the Lord. It's the tent of the Lord. And then we think of what it means to be new creations and have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. It's why the body of Christ needs to commune with the Holy Spirit. Boy, is the enemy having a field day with everybody afraid of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's dwelling within, waiting to overflow. But you got to ask. You got to knock. And then staying under the cherubim wings. Think of the cherubim when we think of the Ark of the Covenant and the Holies of Holies and the cherubim wings. There. That's where I'm going to stay, painting that portrait of the little chicks under the mother wings, under the safety and security. I will abide. I will trust. I will abide in that dwelling place that you give, Lord. I will trust in you alone. It's the same thing. We see the same sentiment of Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired, another Psalm of David. We're seeing he has a consistent way of talking of the Lord. That I will seek, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. How we think about the nature and character of God and the titles that we associate to the Lord God Almighty matter. Is he your rock? Is he your fortress? Is he your deliverer? Is he your shelter? So we see here this plea to pray to the Lord. I'm going to put my cries and my prayer before you, and then I'm going to cry to you. I will abide in your tabernacle. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And then that, Selah. Which gives us and gives the congregation, when they would sing this, that moment to stop and to think and say, I can come to your shelter. I can rest under you. And for us, it's the God-proven Spirit, God's proven Spirit dwelling within us. We cry to him, we abide in him, and we trust him. We cry, we abide, and we trust. And that's exactly what takes place there, and that's where there's that Selah, because then You got to just stop and be in his presence. What did Psalm 46:10, when we looked at it, said, be still and know that I am God. And when we went to the Hebrew, what did we learn? That be still means cease striving. And when you think about it, it's as though you're in the water. If you're drowning, what do we always do? It doesn't help. I remember when I was younger and we were in Puerto Rico and my sister was saying, are you sure you know how to swim out there? Yeah, I'm fine, I got this. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I was going farther and farther out and I was like, wow, I should probably try to get back now. I didn't know how to get back. And it was not good. And they had to come get me. Well, she came because she knew that if somebody did come, I'd pretend I was fine, which is more prideful and foolish. But at the end of the day, what did I do when she first started to come? I started flapping everything. She's like, stay still, stay still, stay still. I'm coming. And then guess what? We were able to go back. Cease striving. When we don't feel safe, cease striving. Stop. Be still. Cry to him, abide in him, trust in him. Then after he does that, the result, verse 5, for you, O God, you have heard my vows. Isn't that an interesting thing? Those I will statements become vows to the Lord. What is it when we are in that moment of spiritual geography distance to make vows of faithfulness to his faithful character? How powerful that is. And a comfort in him knowing you've heard. And you've heard what I've said. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Notice it's not just a heritage of something willy-nilly. The promises of God, we forget often in Christian culture, are tied to fear of God. We need to have fear of the Lord God Almighty. You ain't your own boss, and you can't do you. God is sovereign. God is in control. Every believer, we should all be praying, Lord, give me a healthy dose of reverent awe of you, that I remain obedient, that I remain discerning the times that we're in, led by your Spirit. Because we don't think about that. Because when you start to put about fearing God, then that starts to imply, does that mean that there are rules that I have to follow and that I can't just do what I want to do? Yes, it does. Tomorrow we'll work on colors. You have to obey the Lord God Almighty. And he's given the word of God, which we must obey. So we need to have that. And then there's a heritage. And David knew his heritage. Israel knows their heritage to the promise of the land. It's everybody from the river to the sea. They don't even know what they're talking about. The word of God's made it very clear. And that's a heritage that they have. We, too, have a heritage. Being grafted in, we have a heritage. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Praise the Lord. Notice Holy Spirit came up again, just saying. So we need to be mindful of that. And we see that reminder of the heritage that comes for those who fear your name. And that's an interesting thing, because it's not even saying who fear you, who fear your name, because there's power in the name. There is power in the name. Do you fear the name? Do you have a reverent awe? Yeshua Mashiach, Adonai, Jehovah, do you have a fear? Then we go on, verse 6. You will prolong the king's life, his years, as many generations.
He's knowing the reign that he's been promised, the reign that's going to come, and it's also pointing prophetically to the King of Kings, Jesus. And then goes on, he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Now, when he's pointing to this idea of this kingship reigning forever and ever, homework, read 2 Samuel chapter 7 and remind yourself of the promise. I'm just going to read one verse. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. The Davidic promise, the throne's established forever through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's established forever and ever and ever and ever. He's pointing to that. He knows that. And then he knows the preservation comes from one thing alone. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. You need those two things for the preservation. And then think, when that prophecy is fulfilled and the king comes, what did we see when we were in John 1:14? The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Mercy, grace, truth, married together. Because it's when you understand the mercy and grace of what Jesus has done, and understand the truth of who he is and all to come, you're born again. And then, guess what? You're preserved. You're preserved. How are we preserved? Well, remember the passage I like to look at, and Pastor David and Michelle, it was also meaningful for them, very much so, in the planting of this church. And it continued when Christina and I were praying on that. Revelation 3, the faithful church, where we see that. But we're reminded there, because you have kept my command to persevere, because we're persevering through obedience of the word, through filling of the Holy Spirit, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That trial that's going to come is the great tribulation. Guess who's not going to be there? The bride of Christ. And I know I say it often, there's one way to see the end, folks. The rapture's happening. And I personally believe the times that we're in, it's not the time anymore to, well, we can agree to disagree on that. Ain't no agree to disagree. The word of God is read one way. If it's not read one way, ain't the word of God. So we just have to dig in and understand he's coming for his bride. He's promised we're not going to be here for that great tribulation. And you know why? Because of his mercy and his grace and his truth. He is faithful. What a gift that is. Think of where this started. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer, for from the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And now look where we're about to end. Another I will. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And there's an interesting thing here, because that praise forever enables to daily perform the vows. Because guess what? When you're praising the Lord and reminding yourself of his character, who he is, you can't but help but praise. And that song of praise the Lord uses to propel you into obedience. That's why I like to remind us the lyrics to worship songs matter. If it sounds like a love song from the 90s or 80s, probably not a real good worship song to make your tune. But if it's about the character, the nature of God, yeah, praise. Because it's about him. I know that's hard in our me-centric culture, but it's about God. It's not about you, it's about him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may perform that I may daily perform my vows. And it's interesting, when we think of daily, what does Luke 9:23 tell us? Anybody that wants to follow me must deny himself. How often? Daily. Do you start your day with breakfast, which is the word of God? And saints, do you start your day with praise? Sing to the Lord. Start the day with a song to the Lord, or put on praise while you're making the morning coffee or whatever it is. Start the day with praise. Let the melody get stuck in your head so you sing unto him. So you sing unto him and are refreshed and are renewed. Because if we see what took place in this psalm, David fixes his eyes on Jesus, on God. And when our eyes, us, are fixed on Jesus, guess what? You're gonna praise. You're gonna praise. Especially the longer, I find, the longer you're a believer and you think of everything the Lord's got you through, whoo-wee, you're gonna praise. You're gonna praise. You're gonna praise. Charge for this week, and then we're gonna actually sing an oldie to this song to close our time together tonight. And Jeff's gonna lead us in it, and he's gonna sing. Charge for tonight. One, we see, I will cry, I will abide, I will trust, I will praise. What are your I wills? What are your I wills? If you had to make your list of I wills, what would it be? And build that list that you keep, so that then when I'm sensing the feelings that lie because the heart's deceptive are coming in, they're lying, I gotta fix my eyes on you, Lord. I will cry to you right now, Lord God. I will cry to you because you can hear. You're the deliverer. I'm gonna abide in your word. What are your I wills? Two, prayerfully navigate your next I'm not safe. So whenever that next time comes that you're not just walking in full peace and it's, I'm not safe, prayerfully navigate it. Because I'm going to promise you something. We're all going to have at least one before I see you again. So prayerfully navigate it. And the last one, fix your eyes on him till you praise. That's a challenge I want to give you. Take some time before we gather next Wednesday and just say, I am going to just fix my eyes on the Lord God Almighty and his character, his nature, wherever he leads you in the word to do it. And don't get from that place till you're singing praise. Let the Lord with his spirit meet you and see what happens. And then go public with it. I'm still waiting for the news report. Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill person singing loudly all over. Praise. Get with it. Some of the young adults do after. If you stay, they stay late and then parking lots blasting music. And I'm like, let's go. Praise the Lord. Go public with it. Sing to the King. It's a dark world. We have the only hope, the way, the truth, and the life. So one, what are your I wills? Two, prayerfully navigate your next I'm not safe. And three, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on him till you praise. Amen. I want to pray and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time, Lord. Father, this particular psalm, Lord, what just a gift it's been meditating and stewing on it, Lord, to realize what it is to fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we, the church who has the Spirit of God living in us, Lord, we say, fill us with your Spirit, Heavenly Father. And Lord, when we are weary, when we are tired, when those senses of not being safe or whatever it may be that comes in the way, Lord, that we would say, Heavenly Father, lead me to the rock, because you are the rock. And Lord, when we think of going to the rock, I pray, bring us to the heart of our salvation. When we first knew the way, the truth, and the life, when we surrendered all. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. And we sing now this song, Lord, unto you. And Jesus, I pray, help us to write this song on our heart, that it would be one we come to, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher.
Singing that, it's on my heart to just ask if you've been struck with something tonight. Let's pray. So I just want to ask the elders and elders' wives that are here, Jeff, myself, come ask for prayer. Because I think sometimes when we look at a text like this, when we sing a song like this, there's something that the Lord's talking to you about. And you kind of get that, and then it's like, okay, well, I'll deal with it later. Let's pray now. Because I think some of us need some prayer tonight, and we shouldn't leave without doing it. So we can cut the stream, but I'm going to ask, come on up here. We can put some people over there, and if you need to go, you can go. But if you need prayer, if something's hit, let's pray.